Now with me in the studio is Ziva Newman, who is the head of fundraising for the Central Remedial Clinic based in Clontarf. You're very welcome, Ziva, and thank you for joining us on Lifeline on Near FM.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, Ziva, can you tell our listeners something about the founding and the history of the CRC?
Well, the CRC has a very long history. The CRC is an organisation that works with children and adults with multiple and very complex disabilities, physical disabilities. And it has a lovely history whereby it was founded by two lovely ladies, Lady Goulding and Miss Kathleen O'Rourke in 1951. And the reason for being founded was because they saw how many children there were stricken by polio. Yes. And they wanted to actually care for the children and provide a safe environment, but also education and therapies. And this started very humbly, and then 10 years later they opened a clinic in Clontarf, and we are most known for our centre in Clontarf. Now we are a nationwide organisation.
Right, okay.
We also have centres in Waterford, we have centres in Limerick, and we have day centres around Dublin as well. And as the two ladies started with polio, and as we know, polio doesn't exist as such anymore.
Yes.
They realised there was actually a greater need to look after with children and adults who are still physically disabled due to various illnesses such as spina bifida or cerebral palsy or acquired injuries, and they decided to continue with their good work. And now we have about 400 staff, we are nationwide, and we cater for around 3,500 children every year, and we have over 300 adults on our services, so we're quite large.
Okay, Ziva, and what type of services do you provide to the patients?
Well, when a child normally is diagnosed with a condition, be it cerebral palsy or spina bifida, they very early on in their start of life, they come to our services, they're referred to our services.
Right.
And we look at the entire family, not just the child, in a wholesome way. So we provide services such as speech and language and feeding. A lot of our children would have problems with feeding,
right.
So it's very important. Physiotherapy. We would have speech and language, as I said, occupational therapy. We also have specialist services such as the GATE laboratory, and we have assistive technology and specialised seating, obviously, for making, custimate wheelchairs for each individual to bring the best that they can get out of life the conditions they're in. But what we do is, so the child comes, there is a consortium of specialists who look at the history, who assess the child and the family situation, and they are brought through the CRC in their lifetime as a family. So we're looking at a child and a family circle, bringing the best for the child and for the family that there is.
Yes. And is the CRC a residential facility?
We are often confused that we are residential, but we're not. We're a day service provider. So we have two schools, one in Clontarf and one in Clondalkin. We have about 100 students, pupils in Clontarf and around 85 in Clondalkin. Because of our children, they have very specialist but also high needs. They wouldn't necessarily, those needs be met in mainstream schools.
Right.
And and with that, we have day centres for our adults, because once you finish our senior school, then you progress onto training and development, and you can do some children actually progress to being a student, and they disabilities are mild and they can progress onto third level education, which is amazing. But for a lot of our children, they're actually stay in our centres, and we do training and development, we do higher education in QQI levels, and then they progress onto other day services where they come in, let's say, three times a week, and they learn about the world, and they do their socializing there, to do their possibly work placements.
Yes.
They learn how to use transport to go into town, so they learn all the basic skills that are normal for you and me, and you just providing a service of doing ordinary things in ordinary places.
Yes, okay. And how do you raise funds to provide these services?
So we are, for those who know, we are a Sector 38, which means that we are a HSE-funded service. However, for everything added that we want to bring to our clients, and everything is for our clients in the CRC, we use fundraising methods and fundraised income to help us on that quest.
Okay. So I know that one of the events that you host is a mini marathon. When is it on? Can you tell us a little bit about it, and how would anyone who's interested in joining just might get in touch?
Mini Marathon is a fabulous event. I mean, it's the biggest joining of all the charities together, I believe, in the world. So running it for the CRC, joining Team CRC, is a real privilege. Every time we get a new supporter is a real privilege for us. And it's on Sunday this time, 3rd of June. And we're still looking for more people to come and join Team CRC. Every mini marathon that we do, all the funds raised always go to a very special project, which is for our school children, and it's called the Summer Project. And it's basically a summer camp for our kids, for our school kids, because, well, you know yourself, summers are very long after school is finished, eight weeks long.
Sure.
And for our children, as for anyone else, you know, summer camps are a wonderful opportunity to actually have a two-week break and socialize with their friends and learn something new, do things that they don't normally do, to challenge themselves in a way that they wouldn't normally be challenged.
Yes.
For our parents,
yes,
they love it too, because it's a respite for them as well. And unfortunately, our kids can't just go to a mainstream summer camp. It's just not possible for them because of their high needs.
Right.
Not only that they would be in wheelchairs, but they may have feeding problems. They may be peg fed, or they could be nonverbal. So they'd be using technology to express themselves, to express their needs, to express their happiness and joy on what they wanted to do next. So every July, the first 2 weeks in July is for our junior pupils, and the second 2 weeks in July for our senior pupils. It's always an amazing fun for them. And we are we always look for funds for that particular project, so that this year, for instance, we're hoping to have trips that we haven't had before.
Right.
We're hoping to have certain things that they haven't experienced before. For instance, there is a Disney showcase that they come and everyone is dressed in Disney princesses and characters.
Sounds lovely.
And it's just bringing that storytelling and bringing that imagination and to our children, and they can be part of it as well, because for them, going to a mainstream, even theatre, it's very complicated. It doesn't come easy. And it's always, transport is very difficult to organise. So whatever we can bring on site is always a bonus. But notwithstanding, we do love to go out as well, and seeing things, seeing different things. And it's always an amazing experience for our children. But also when they come home, they can talk about it with their families. They can pass on the message, and just sharing the joy, sharing the experiences together is very important.
Yes. Now, I believe you're also very active in the area of human rights for disabled persons. You know, I had a long interview with Senator Dolan here, and Ireland has now ratified the UN treaty and so on. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about that, and how you apply those principles to the kids and that you're looking after?
Well, thank you for raising that issue. The human rights is something that's very close to our hearts and minds on a daily basis. And as you rightly said, the UNCRPD, the human rights, UN human rights, were only passed in March this year. And what we've done last year, we have this amazing human rights officer, Rachel Glennan, and she has been working with our adults, with our staff, with our families, with our children, to actually, in the form of workshops, to bring the rights to the people who actually need to know about them. So their rights to work, their rights to travel. There are so many basic rights that we wouldn't necessarily even think about, because you just live life.
Yes.
But this is a little bit different for our adults and our children. And since the workshop started, in parallel to that, we also had three big marches and protests outside Leinster House.
Right.
In support of ratifying the UNCRPD.
Super.
And what that meant was that all of a sudden our adults, who would have been on our services for a very, very long period of time, were given a voice, their own voice, and they were out there, outside Leinster House, protesting.
Yes.
And you know, just pleading for the, just requesting their rights to be passed as a legislation, piece of legislation. And it was wonderful to see, you know, our clients have a voice, voicing it. And actually there was a result, a positive result.
Yes, yes.
That the rights were passed. And then recently I heard somebody say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? Everything is
what's
passed.
What's our next thing?
Yes. I said, don't worry, there'll be loads to protest about.
Great.
But it's wonderful to see this journey of, you know, people with disabilities who obviously don't work. They have a very different form of life. They're not prominent in the society, so bringing them back into the society, giving them a good life, and actually bringing them to the point where they have a voice, where they
know how to use it. Yes, and indeed a sense of self.
Absolutely.
That I have this power. I'm, you know, when people are looking after you so often, and so many fundamental things need to be attended to for you, and just to be given that voice and to say, I'm important enough to be listened to. You know, it's absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. And some of our adults would say, you know, I don't want to be treated as a child anymore, because they're so used to being cared for and handled. They actually say, I want to decide where I want to live. I don't want to live in this place. I actually want to live independently. So self-advocacy was crucial in this piece. Teaching and just allowing this organic process of developing your own voicing of your own needs and how you want to frame them.
Yes, okay. Now, Jiva, separate from today's interview, I believe that the CRC has a long-standing association with Near FM. Could you tell us something about this?
Oh, we're very proud of our relationship with Near FM. It goes along a few years now. And it, actually, a group of our adults come here every Thursday and they work on their own program. And they're being taught how to use all the buttons that you have there in front of me, and how to edit programs, how to actually create a program, how to develop it, so it's a wonderful learning for them, and very much empowering, and goes back into the having your own voice, but also having a project that you develop, but also having a result from it as well.
Yes.
Being heard, being visible, and also being in an environment that is that caters for all their needs as well. So it just this relationship with Near FM is highly valued in the CRC.
Well, great. That's great to hear. Now, I believe that the CRC also operate two schools in Dublin to cater for children with disabilities who need a much higher level of support than is usual. Could you tell us a little about those schools?
Oh, our schools are wonderful. So as I said, we have two schools, one in Clontarf and one in Clondalkin. They're quite small schools, as you would imagine a school to be. We start with our schools from the age of three, with our students from the age of three to about 18 or 19. We are still considered a primary school, although we do have a senior level as well. But just being a special school, we are just classed as a primary school. We have wonderful teachers, and we have a lot of SNAs as well. Not all, but a lot of our children are in wheelchair users. We have a lot of other children as well with various physical disabilities and some intellectual disabilities as well. What I love about a school is that it's very spacious. So
yes,
the classrooms, actually, when you go in, there is no desks, because each wheelchair has a personalized desk attached to it.
Yes, okay.
We use a lot of technology, because a lot of our children would be possibly nonverbal or have difficulties expressing themselves.
Yes.
So they would be using technology to express themselves, so we're quite high tech. But we have, then in the senior section, We have an amazing art teacher who teaches art in a very beautiful way, to a very individualist way for each student. And actually, we have an opening of our school art exhibition tonight.
Right, okay, that's good. Plug to get in.
Thank you very much. And so each year, every student makes a piece of art. So you have, from little ones who are 3 years old, and it's very simple, to, yes, you know, those who are 18, 17, 18, 19, who have a slightly better, I suppose, control of their our hands, and they can produce, yes, something. Last, yes, year we had some amazing artists actually who developed through this program with our lovely teacher Maura Talty, and this year we're hoping to have some more as well. But it's very therapeutic for our children. It was lovely to see what they do and how they're instructed, but also it's a way of communication for them, and it's a way of expression for them. We have one chap, his arm is affected by a cerebral palsy, and, yes, he was in a mainstream school, and that didn't go down well for him. He was severely bullied, and then he came to us in the CRC, and it took a long time, took several years, and then Maura worked with him, and he was technically actually very, he was excellent.
Right.
And one day he just sat down and he drew his arm in pencil, and he said, "Now, this is my arm. I'm going to name this piece of art, this is my arm." And Maura said this was an amazing moment for her, because it was the first time that he saw himself, or he expressed himself the way he was, and that,
yes,
was okay. Yes. And in a way, he could move on from then. It yes, as if it wasn't an obstacle anymore. It's just who he is, and it's okay.
Super.
But there's,
yeah,
so many other things to him. So it was wonderful to see art bringing out and liberating this chap from his disability.
Yes, and releasing the trapped person within. Indeed, Christy Brown actually comes to mind. Who knows what he would have achieved had he access, yes, to some of your help. Is it expensive to avail of CRC services for a patient?
We are a free service. We are a HSE funded, so everything on our services is free for our parents. Obviously, you have to be referred to our services, but life with, you know, a family who has a member who is disabled is very expensive, because you have to look at access, especially if they're in a wheelchair.
Yes.
So you're looking at modifying your house, modifying your car. You're looking at specialist medication.
Yes.
It's a long-term projection, and it's a long-term, I suppose, management.
Sure, sure.
So although the service itself is free, the life as such is not. And
yes,
it's
yes,
very a commitment-based, and obviously it's very costly.
And does a patient have to actually get to your school, or can you collect them and bring them, or how does that work?
We collect them. We have an amazing transport manager, and so what we do each morning, they're collected from their home and brought to school. We have buses. They would fit usually about three, maximum four, but I think normally three wheelchairs at a time. And each, and we'd have a bus escort as well. So somebody who is not a driver, who can actually be there in case something happens, or you have some,
yes,
there's some,
yes,
needs that need to be addressed per bus. So we take our transport very seriously. It's a crucial point,
yes,
for us. Service in terms of providing the service, and equally that goes not for our school children but also for some of our adults as well.
Yes.
They're being brought to the centres.
Right, okay. Yeah. And Ziva, can you repeat your contact details for anyone who wishes to assist you with fundraising, or make a donation, or take part in any of your activities?
Well, thank you very much. So for anyone out there who is looking to get involved on any kind of level, we'd love to hear from you. And you can always email me on fundraising@crc.ie. That's fundraising@crc.ie. Will I give a phone number as well?
Yes, if you would. Yes,
yep.
Thank you.
So our number is 01-854-2000, and just ask for fundraising department, and we'd love to talk to you.
Super. Ziva, is there any point not touched here that you would just particularly like to highlight yourself?
Well, we are very much a community-based service. We are in the heart of Clontarf. We work on... We also have a centre, or a hub, we call it, in Killester. So we're working on actually bringing our adults and our children into the community and ultimately normalising disability, making it so instead of people looking and wondering... just to see a lot of joy and normality for people with disabilities. And we fundraise from our community, from our corporate partners, from our trusts and foundations, and from our events. So if you just keep an eye on our webpage, www.crc.ie, we always have our current and future events. And if you'd like to be involved, please do. We'd love new people and current supporters too.
And just as you mentioned, I think your next event is the Mini Marathon on Sunday, the 3rd of June, isn't actually too far away.
Not at all, it isn't. And as I said, we're still looking for new supporters to come on board to join Team CRC. We're going to have a great crack. And we're going to be having an after gathering as well. And we are going to have a little in Clontarf and in town, and just ping me on fundraising@crc.ie and I'll give you all the details for it.
Thank you very much for joining us today on Lifeline, Jeeva, and on Near FM, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
Thank you.